Though saying that she knew how to tend bar when she didn't wasn't the worst decision of Mary Sweet's life, it definitely did not make the top 10 list of her best laid plans. It had seemed like a good idea at the time. After all, this wedding at Buford Bend Plantation was a one-time thing. It was only about 40 minutes from Nashville, where Mary lived, and the money was good. The I-dos were over now, as was the sit-down dinner that had followed. Now the dancing was in full swing in the ballroom of Buford Bend, an honest-to-God made-it-through-the-Civil-War plantation that also served as the venue for their event planning business around the bend. This soiree was a far cry from any wedding Mary had ever attended back home in Alabama. She was used to the fellowship hall of the Beaver Crossing Baptist Church, with friends of the bride who hadn't made the wedding party cut, serving cake, nuts, little chicken salad sandwiches, and a big crystal bowl filled with punch that matched the bridesmaids' dresses. If there had been such a bowl of punch here tonight, it would have had to be blue. On the one hand, the winter-themed decorations were breathtakingly beautiful, but on the other, there sure were a lot of crystal snowflakes, silver glitter, and blue, blue, blue. And right in the middle of it all was an 8-foot-tall ice sculpture of a hockey player and a bride. It didn't look much like the couple, but still, a chunk of ice made to look like people, any people, was impressive. Mary knew the bride, Amy, from Foolscap and Vellum, the fancy paper store where Mary worked part-time. Amy was a bullet journaler and apparently a generous gift giver, judging from the amount of wrapping paper she bought. She'd married one of those Nashville Sound pro hockey players tonight. The bride was how Mary had come to be standing behind one of the bars at this party 3 days before Christmas. Amy had mentioned in passing that the event planner was having a tough time finding enough staff for the wedding since the college students, who made up the bulk of their regular temporary help, would have already left to go home for the holidays. Amy had given Emery Buford's business card to Mary, and Mary had called the next day. Though she was on winter break from Vanderbilt Law School, Mary couldn't go home anyway because she had to work. She had expected to secure a job serving or washing dishes, but Emery needed a bartender, and Mary had said she could do it, probably because Mary knew the bride. Emery hadn't questioned her very much. Mary had been grateful. Her second job was ice suite attendant for home hockey games at Bridgestone Arena, but the Sound was on hiatus for 5 days, which meant no income from there. She had the tuition for the upcoming semester covered between working all she could and loans, mostly loans, but she still had to pay for books, food, and living expenses. There were 3 bars at this party, and Mary's was one of 2 in the ballroom. She'd been relieved not to be assigned to the parlor downstairs because she figured the older set would hang out there where it was quieter and they'd be a cocktail crowd. She'd guessed that the younger folks would be thirsty from dancing and lean toward beer and wine. That had been mostly true, with only a few straight bourbons, vodka rocks, and rum and cokes thrown in. "Scotch and water, please," said a male voice. "Another easy one. Good. Excellent, in fact." Having been raised by a fire and brimstone fundamental teetotaling preacher, Mary had little exposure to alcohol until college, when she had found she disliked the taste. After taking this job, she'd thought she would be able to study up on how to make cocktails, but there were so many, and she'd had final exams. The best she'd been able to do was memorize a few basic drinks, martini, margarita, daiquiri, and stash a bartender's guide under the bar. But there was no need for the book to mix plain old scotch and water. She reached for the Glenfiddich and looked up to meet the bright gray eyes of the scotch and water drinker. Some might have said those eyes were silver, pretty, but they put Mary in the mind of a vampire. The color was at odds with his caramel-streaked brown hair. Good looking, though. He had the kind of look her father would have approved of. Short hair, clean-shaven, and no visible tattoos. He wore a flower in the lapel of his tuxedo jacket, so he must have been a groomsman. Judging from his size and age, he was probably a teammate of the groom. Not that she watched hockey, despite working most home games. On the rare occasions when she had a break from fetching and toting for people who could afford to sit in an ice suite, Mary studied. "Rocks?" she asked. He looked slightly amused. "No, no rocks, thank you." She got the feeling she'd said something wrong. She'd been proud of herself for calling ice rocks, thought it sounded bartender-ish,